All right, welcome to this episode of Comes Naturally podcast. Before we go into intros, we will go to Michael Owen for business. Business, sir, hit it.
Yes, sir. As always, this podcast is completely free. And if you want to support us in any way, we ask you to do a couple easy little things for us. First of all, we need you to go to Facebook, like our Facebook page, share our Facebook page with all your friends, make sure they like the page, and then make sure they share the page, and then make sure the people they shared the page with liked the page, and then they share the page. So the people that share the page like the page four times back. It's like a
pyramid scheme.
Yeah.
Only except nobody's
making any money at all. We just get likes.
Some of us are losing money.
Some of us. Joe's hasn't lost any money.
Yeah, Joe.
It's not like I haven't offered to pay for anything.
Calm down.
Yeah. Quit trying to be a martyr.
Put your wallet away.
Quit trying to be a martyr, dick. Go ahead.
Anyway. But yeah, like the page. That's the point of that, like a pyramid scheme. Build us up like a pyramid scheme.
don't do
explain
that.
Explain to people that don't, we are a pyramid
don't,
scheme.
Don't do that.
Please just tell everyone we're if a very like good us. Pyramid scheme that you should get involved with.
Don't
that you will not lose any
we're,
money.
Wait,
guaranteed.
We're an entertainment pyramid scheme. There you go.
A free one.
Yep. And no cost to you, and we don't ask for any money.
That's right.
Unless later on, if we sell T-shirts or stuff, you can buy those.
Or bumper stickers.
People still make bumper stickers?
People still
commemorative
make bumper stickers.
Toothpicks.
With our names and faces etched on them?
I'm trying to think of the most cost-efficient thing.
Oh, those little spoons.
Yeah, we're going to sell spoons.
Oh, God.
Those
collectible
little
spoons.
Yeah, collectible spoons the that like old ladies spoons, and my mom have, like, hanging up. She's old. I know. She got them from my grandmother.
He's
kind of,
lady.
Yeah. Anyway, so go ahead and finish your thing, Facebook.
But after you pimp us out as a pyramid scheme on Facebook, go to Twitter and do the exact same thing.
At Comes Natural Pod is where you should send people when you tell them about the internet pyramid scheme that we are.
For the Twitter.
The
reason, all joking aside, the reason that's important is every week when the podcast becomes available, we'll put all links out to the podcast, no matter where you want to listen to it to, however you want to receive it, whatever's the most convenient thing for you, we'll have every single link available through there, Facebook and Twitter.
Through you.
Through you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
All right. So, welcome. We are...
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody.
Real quick, before we get started, why don't we have music yet?
It's a thing. It happens, all right? It's
in the
process.
Works.
We are 5 years into this thing. No theme music.
We're exactly 5 years into this
exactly
thing.
5 years. The first time, March of 2014. 5 years into this.
Yep.
You know what would be cool, too, is if we had an announcer.
What?
We had an announcer, like somebody announce us, like a TV show.
Yeah, money.
No, like one of us could do it. We just pre-recorded.
We just did it.
Like Wayne's World when they went corporate and had the announcer guy and Garth didn't like it.
We just did it. Like
No, but I want it to sound official and different.
Welcome to Comes Naturally Podcast, starring Joe, Mike, and Cody. Like that?
Party on, guys.
Party on, guys.
Yeah, I guess.
Like that, you mean?
Something like that. We'll work out the kinks.
It's still it's very young still. We're still building this.
We're 50 now, aren't we? 50 episodes in?
No. Even with the backlog.
How long are we backlogging this one?
So... Even with the
I
stuff,
want to speak to current.
Even the stuff we have backlogged now wouldn't even put us to 50.
Okay.
Like if we
get to 52, that's a year's worth of. Well, technically 55 would be a year's worth because we released three the first week, right? On iTunes.
No, we've been doing once a week.
No, when
oh,
we
the
initially
first,
start.
Yeah,
we
the first day.
So
I
when we get to
time.
Episode oh, gotcha. 55.
Because yeah. I when we did it, we
don't
had
have
400
pyrotechnics.
And, it's a fucking audio podcast
graphics,
that's recorded in the house.
A live studio audience.
Graphics. We have graphics.
I
made that.
I want to play an unplugged electric guitar while you play air drums.
Wait, hold on. Why do I have to play air drums, but you get an unplugged electric guitar? You have a prop, and I have to sit there like a fucking idiot?
You get drumsticks.
because
I'm in. What's he doing?
He's counting us down.
Yeah.
5, 4, 3
Oh God, it was the most organic Wayne's World moment ever. It was fantastic. If you guys ever seen Wayne's World, we just did the countdown.
By the way,
one silent and
before I had a chance because Mike watched Wayne's World. This episode is off the cuff, so that's the reason it's off the rails right the fuck out of the gate.
I think this is the best opening to a podcast we've ever had. 50 episodes in and clearly the best.
Five years down, 50 something episodes in, and this is the best it's ever happened. Don't do the math, kids.
We are really
hitting
our stride, fellas.
Yes. All right. So, off the cuff, the people don't know, is where we just talk about random shit we want to bring up. And there's no real structure to it other than the fact that a couple of us have
some current
we want to talk about that are mostly current event things, unless something goes on a tangent, which will most likely be me. So,
Cody's the tangent guy.
So, now that we've established that tangent, would you like to start us off?
I will go ahead and start with this. So recently, when I say that, a recording of this episode, we have all seen Guardians of the Galaxy.
It was fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic movie.
Cody would say best Marvel movie yet.
It is the best Marvel movie ever made so far to date. And I will stand by that, and I will argue you with it, and I'll be right every time. So when we were talking about that, end up being Joe and I, driving back from the IMAX on Sunday, talked about a bunch of different stuff, and we were talking about different things coming up. I don't remember how we got to Fantastic Four. I said because I saw the picture someone posted. Mara posted the picture of them wrapping the her and Max Teller and Michael B. Jordan, I do believe, in a selfie saying the end of the wrap of the shoot, and I started to. Get angry because of all the details that we have had of the movie, and the fact that I am one of the only people who isn't actually upset that they're changing the race of one of the characters. That didn't bother me at all.
No,
what bothered me is the fact that the shit that they're doing to the movie. So I'm completely down for making all of them different races if you really want to. I don't give a shit. You can make them all girls if you really wanted to.
Be interesting.
The dynamic would be strange because. Two of them would be lesbians.
Breaking barriers, sir.
Yeah. But my problem...
Lesbo superhero barriers.
My problem comes down to is you have
these... superhero power.
Gross. really? Really? Anyways, so you have all these superhero movies, comic movies, as some say, coming out. A lot of them are good.
Some of them are very, very bad.
Some of them are atrocious. So, little spoiler, if you haven't seen the Guardians of the Galaxy yet, wait till after the very end of after the credits. There's a little stinger scene at the end that is my second favorite thing of all that movie, which features Howard the Duck. I am a huge fan of Howard the Duck, both the movie and the comic books.
Oh, yeah.
Because I think they're hilarious. Now, what we found out looking at stuff is Howard the Duck was actually the first Marvel movie ever made. Which is crazy to think about. But anyways, back to what I was talking about. Fantastic Four, untitled at this point of the reboot of the series, directed by Josh Trank. Story by Josh Trank. Screenplay written by two other people, Simon Kinberg and Jeremy Sattler, or Slater. Anyways, so I'm all about rebooting it because the first one was decent. The second one... was fucking awful.
First one wasn't even decent, I don't think.
I'll give you decent for what it was. I mean, it came out a while ago. It was,
and they were trying something new, a property that had never been done before. And I think it visually, for me, they nailed the casting.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, other than suit that Michael Chiklis is in. But,
I'm saying,
before you could do fully CG'd characters like that in a movie.
It could have done it. It would have cost them a lot more, but
been a long way. They already had one that they were doing all the time because Reed was like moving around and they had Johnny, so they had one fully whenever he was transformed.
But look
at
all the money they saved on the Invisible Woman.
Actually, no, because if you look at it, she wasn't actually completely invisible all the time. They didn't pull the whole Roger Corman, just not film her and have her speak off camera, if you've ever seen the original Roger Corman one. Anyways, so looking at it, I love Josh Trank's first movie, Chronicle. I thought it was very inventive. It was very fun. It was a found footage movie, but it was done in a way where found footage was used for a reason.
It made sense.
You know, it made sense. They were filming them themselves. I thought it was very entertaining. Some people didn't like it. Fuck them. It was a fun movie. It was cool to see when they first learned that they could fly. That was a really awesome scene. That little stuff, super badass. The fight at the end was pretty cool. Awesome. I was super happy. And I heard he was doing Fantastic Four. I was like, cool. That's a breath of fresh air into that. You know, they're not giving it to some guy who doesn't care. He obviously cares about superheroes because he made one, right?
Yep.
Cool. Fuck this movie. So there are, it's been said that there will be elements of found footage scenes in it, which
don't need to be in.
Don't
this
need
movie.
To be in at all because it's
the whole
a narrative.
Found footage thing is like, if it's done right, it's really cool. It's a cool aspect to a movie that's relatively, I know it's happened before, but it's a relatively new thing to catch on mainstream, probably because of the Paranormal Activity movies. And it could be awesome. But like a superhero movie doesn't need found footage, dude. Yeah, like
exactly. Something something this big doesn't need it because it's going to come to the point where like it shouldn't make sense that they have that aspect, you know, like some like somebody Reed's arm stretching to hold the camera, that sort of thing. So fucking dumb.
Selfie.
Anyways, so real quickly, what I wanted to bring up about this is there's two quotes from two of the people from the, well, I'll do actually all three that I have here. So first is Miles Teller. Sorry, he plays Reed Richards and Mr. Fantastic. He says in quotes, "When I read the script, I didn't feel like I was reading this larger than life, incredible superhero tale. These are all very human people that end up having to become, I guess, what I know as the Fantastic Four. So for me, it was really good story and gives me an opportunity to play something different from my own skin." So that tells me that's going to be awful.
Yep.
Because you're making a superhero film without superheroes. Then Michael B. Jordan, who plays Johnny Storm, the Human Torch, says, "We're more or less a bunch of kids that had an accident, and we have disabilities that we now have to cope with and try to find life afterwards. Try to be as normal as we can."
Two things, or three things about that. More or less a bunch of kids.
Yep.
Yep.
Disabilities.
Yep.
And try to be normal.
Yep.
Okay, no, not you're not kids. You're all adults. You're the Fantastic Four.
But you have to listen to what I think they're going to do with it.
You don't.
We'll go there in a second. Go ahead.
You don't have disabilities. Like, I understand, like, even from the other set of Fantastic Four, like, the Thing felt like a big, shitty asshole, whatever. I guess you can kind of use the disabilities things, but you should, it should be at first used, but
changes.
You have to embrace it, which I guess they could do throughout the movie. And what was the third thing?
Trying to find life afterwards. Cope with it.
You don't try to cope with that. You're the fucking Fantastic Four. You deal with it. You just instantly, you be heroic. Be heroes. Don't try to do this whole "I'm a reluctant hero" bullshit. Like, that's so dumb and old in movies. Like, I'm so tired of it. You don't need that aspect to it at all. You can add character depth and background and everything you need development without doing that. You don't need to give me the whole Spider-Man before Uncle Ben died anymore. We don't need that, you know? That's played out. Just fucking be your hero. Deal with shit, but be a hero.
Joseph, I know you wanted to step in here before I go to the last one. It has nothing to do with what you're talking about. So Joe's theory. Go ahead.
Well, I want to first off say that even though we stated that and I have no problem with them changing the races of the characters, I do have a problem with making them mixed race. And it sounds really racist for me to say that, but I just mean you have to then add more backstory to it to explain it. And I think that's what they're kind of doing, because it was recently announced that their father is going to play a role in the movie, which means that they are going to go back and they're going to explain more of, you know, Sue Storm's and Johnny Storm's origins, why one's white, why one's black, because when you mix them, you're going to have to explain it. So with the thought that they are introducing the father, my thinking is that these are literally going to be kids. I mean, what is the age of the actors?
They're young, but I guarantee you they're going to play younger.
But exactly, they're going to play younger. So the way I see this following through is that the father of Johnny Storm and Sue Storm is going to be some sort of scientist.
He's labeled as Dr. Storm.
And the kids, his two kids, are going to be in the lab messing around with their friends, probably videotaping themselves, all of the found footage part of it. They're going to somehow get involved in an experiment, mess an experiment up that's going to expose them to some sort of cosmic radiation and give them these abilities that they consider disabilities because, you know, it's radiation and whatnot. And then the rest of the part of the movie is going to be them filming each other, you know, oh, look, I can light on fire. And, you know, oh, look, I can stretch. I can become invisible.
It literally sounds like it's turned into Chronicle.
Yeah.
Like, that's what it sounds like. It's just...
But somehow you're still going to have Dr. Doom in it,
yep.
Who would have to be, if you're at least following canon, is going to have to be irradiated himself somehow. So
he must be like the one kind of friend or something. But anyway, Miles Teller, the guy playing Mr. Fantastic, is only 27 years old.
So, yeah, he's going to be playing somebody younger than 27 years old.
This guy's like a genius, established scientist.
But no, he's not going to be that in the
movie. No, that's what I'm saying. Like, that's supposed what he
to be.
Is.
He's supposed to be that. You're right. But now you're shipping all
but
that
you know how,
to the
how
father.
Hollywood does it. If you're 27, you look kind of big. I mean, this dude played a high school kid as little as 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm just scared that they're going to have everyone play young in this.
And that's exactly what I'm saying they're going to do. And Reed Richards is not going to be the scientist. It's going to be maybe he is like an up and coming, you know, trying to learn all this stuff, but it's going to fall more towards their dad, or Johnny's dad, Johnny and Sue Storm's dad.
Yeah,
on everything, and it just is absolutely atrocious that they're doing this.
And this,
if
is
that's what they're doing,
if
which
that's
I'm
what they're doing.
Pretty sure they
well,
are.
Well, according to this, so then it comes to my last point, which is the most aggravating thing of the whole time. So, Kate Mara, who plays Sue Storm in The Invisible One, so she said she was supposed to read the Fantastic Four comic books for preparation. However, director Josh Trank, this fucking dick, suggested to her that it is unnecessary, with the writer Simon Kinberg adding that the film is not based on a single issue of Fantastic Four comic books. Mara has also said that she is intended to focus on making her character as real as possible. So, let me get this straight. You've been given the chance to reboot a movie franchise based on a comic book series that you intend not to base anything off of. I'm okay if you want to write your own story. It's worked for a lot of other people. I mean, Marvel Comics, for the most part, Marvel has done that. They rewrote a bunch of stories for it. They've adapted some stuff from it, taken elements from it. Obviously, the closest we've seen so far would be Winter Soldier. That story is the essentially main story element of Ed Brubaker's Winter Soldier comic book. So I get that. So I'm down. If you want to try to attempt to write your own, I'm okay with it. Be original. Don't take us something that's on. But if to tell your actor not to read any of the source material that her character is based on tells me you're not going to make that character the character that everyone loves. So you're taking a franchise that reason they want to make a film out of it is because people like it already.
And now you're changing.
And now you're going away from it completely. So let me ask you a question. Mike, you go to a Ford dealership to buy a Ford, right?
Right.
You go there, the guy says, oh, you love Ford? Cool, come look at this Toyota. What are you going to say to him?
I'm like, I came here to buy a Ford.
That's funny, because I asked you for a Ford, you showed me a Toyota, mm-hmm. right? You may fall in love with the Toyota, but that's not what you wanted, right?
Nope.
Okay, so why the fuck would you go to make a movie based on a franchise, a thing that's already been, years and years of work put into it that people love, and the reason that people wanted to see a live action movie made out of this, and then go away from it all together.
Yeah, it's just another example of
Hollywood fucking shit up.
The Marvel group, because it's comic book people that are behind it, are doing such a good job, and people who care about the source material. And that's why the Marvel movies are so good, and they're different enough to be different. But still, you know, it's the essence of the characters that you want to see.
And the main thing with Marvel, not to sound like I'm on their side of everything, but they have the top people in the Marvel that run Marvel Pictures that are doing all these movies. The Marvel ones, not these Marvel characters from other studios. The actual Marvel,
like
studios.
Marvel studios.
So the
Phase One, yep, Phase Two.
Those ones.
Things.
So Iron Man and Captain America and Thor, those ones. Avengers, Guardians of the Galaxy. They are overseeing, the producers are the creators and people who work and have worked for Marvel. So they're steeped in Marvel history. They know where the characters are coming from. They're there to protect them. And so far, they've done that.
Yeah.
You may have not enjoyed all the movies. Some people don't like certain parts because they're, as they've been progressing, have gotten closer to comic books. So people like us have enjoyed them quite a bit. The mainstream people are like, oh, and that's what kind of terrified me when they announced Guardians of the Galaxy. I was like, that's some hardcore comic book shit right there.
Yeah.
It was done very well, and it's done in a way where people outside the comic book world would enjoy it, which is cool. The problem with this is they seem to be steering away from everything except for everything the names of the characters and maybe the situations. That seems a lot like a movie we just watched. So I'm just saying,
dinosaurs.
They have taken what should be an easy, you know, dunk, layup, whatever you want to call it, and just completely gone off the rails. Like, hey, here's a roadmap of something 50, 60 something years of all this storytelling. You could take any of it.
You could take a little bit from each of them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You could take tad little. No one's going to get pissed if you make your own story out of little threads here and there. You know what I mean?
That's what they did with the Batman series, Christopher Nolan's Batman.
Yeah. Christopher Nolan, if you're not familiar with Batman comic books and you think Christopher Nolan is this visionary original, he is. He's great. But he's standing on the shoulders of giants, dude, because he paid homage and respect to so many different versions of Batman. We're talking different books, the animated series, the old series. There's things from Frank Miller's, right out of Frank Miller's Batman, in there, literally shot for shot.
Yeah.
I mean, there's all kinds of shit. He knew the source material, but he made his own original movie that, you know, had elements of things that we've seen before, but did it in such a unique, cool way that it was fantastic. And nobody's looking at the Nolan trilogy as a whole and saying, I didn't really like it. No, if you didn't really like it, you just don't like action movies. Like, that's what it is. You don't like fun, cool, thoughtful movies. That's all that there is to it. And what it sounds like, and again, I stress sounds like, because these are the quotes that we're getting. I don't know exactly how the movie's going to turn out. It might be cool, but it's just disheartening to hear some of the things like, hey, my lead actress, don't read any of the comic books, don't get a feel for this character. It's like, no director would pick a novel to make a movie out of and tell their people not to read the novel. It just seems very disrespectful to all this source material and to all the creators and to all the writers that have spent so many years putting Fantastic Four where it's at in the terms of pop world, comic book world, all that, to just tell them, no, don't read any of it. We're doing our own thing. I don't know if I like that. You know, that seems really disheartening. Like I said, this is all speculation at this point. We haven't seen a trailer. The only couple bits of images that I've seen was the thing's head.
Yeah, the boss that on stage
looked pretty fucking awesome. So that, I mean, when I saw that, I thought, man, that looks really fucking cool. But everything else I'm hearing about it, like what the director's saying, the fact they're using found footage, the fact that this really sounds like a sequel to Chronicle if all the Chronicle kids didn't die, like... You know, it really does. Like, yeah, you have a group of people that stumble across power and try to deal with it. Like, that's what fucking Chronicle was.
Only which was an amazing
one
movie.
One went fucking batshit crazy, Doom, and the other ones try to stop him, but this one basically Doom won. Like,
he died at the end.
Yeah, but
a little pokey poke from a statue to the back, but whatever.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Yeah, so
it sounds rough.
And we'll go to everybody else in a second. I'll bring another one in a minute. But my thing about this is, I was saying it, so you have all these years of these beloved stories and beloved books that people like. You could just go save yourself some time and money, go to one of these writers, these current ones that you want to base these on, and be like, hey, would you like some money to write the screenplay or give us your original script? And you could adapt your work to this movie, and we could just make your vision come to life, and you save time, you save money, and you get what people love. I mean, if I went to you and said, hey, they're going to make Moby Dick, and it's going to be shot for shot for what was on the page. A, you'd look at me like I'm fucking insane. But also, you'd be like, well, that's different.
And I'd totally fucking watch it.
Right?
Probably would, yeah.
Totally fucking watch
but
it shot for
shot. If I go to you and say, hey, I'm going to do Romeo and Juliet, but I'm not going to put any of the characters from the book in. I'm just going to use the aspects of it. That is what? Not based on Romeo and Juliet. That is just pretty much stealing the idea of
a love story.
Yeah, it's a love story.
A tragic love story.
Yeah, it's been done.
Which could be good.
Yeah.
But just don't call it Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah, don't call it Romeo. Exactly.
Call it Chronicle 2, you sons of bitches.
So that's my first one.
Die harder.
Yeah. Die in a fiery death. So that's mine. I'm reserved to wait to see what we see.
I would like to see more images.
It comes out next year, 2015. So we're not too far away.
We're probably I'm guessing like 4 months from getting a teaser.
We'll get a teaser towards the end of the year probably, which will be cool. But it just makes me so mad.
We'll touch back on it as soon as we get footage.
Yeah,
because
I may change my mind. Who knows?
It could suddenly, blow your mind and just be like, oh my God, this is so original and so awesome.
But
but at the same time, like these quotes are either
disheartening
or completely misleading. You know what I mean? Like
calling your superpowers a disability. You're not in a wheelchair, dude.
Like I said,
I'm just saying.
Mr. Fantastic just can't control it. He has no bones. He sits in a chair. They have to spill him out to do stuff. Like things just flings him around like a whip and hits people. He's like, I'm part of the team. Just slapping with his slip arm.
And the Venture Brothers.
Yeah, the one that's on the nerves.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's always on fire, but he doesn't have the immunity to it.
Yeah, so he burns him every time. Yeah.
What was that team called?
I can't remember. It was basically like the Fantastic Four.
It was the Fantastic Four, but it wasn't.
And she could turn her skin invisible, but not the rest of her, so she would just be like muscle. So it's really gross.
So she just looks creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then her brother, who was handicapped, got turned into this big hulking guy, but instead of rock, it's just nerve endings. So every time he touches anything, it hurts him.
Yeah.
And then he gets angry because he's, handicapped, like mentally handicapped. It's really funny. Watch Venture Brothers. So that's my first one. That rant is done. I'll get to another one that's gonna really make me even more upset. But
go for it.
No, my first one. We'll go to you guys.
Just talking off of that. I don't really have a main topic I want to go off.
Boo!
But one, going back to the Fantastic Four real quick. Look these actors up and look at what movies they've been in, and that's kind of disheartening too. Except for the female lead. It's been in some really cool shit. The rest of them been in...
Yeah, Transcendence, right?
Except for Transcendence. Oh. That movie was awful, in case you bought it. Recently out on DVD. You don't.
Oh, it hit DVD already?
Yeah.
Ugh. Oh, no, that's how it worked.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, it is.
And then we kind of glossed over it and gave it its props, but Guardians, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Awesome.
Perfect. I don't think they could have made it like for what it is. It's exactly what it should have been. It was fun. It had great action. They turned the feels on at least four times, at least three times for
sure. Yeah, at least three times
for
sure.
And one was like ridiculous because like one of the characters, Rocket, was like he was drunk at the time, but he was complaining about how he didn't want to be what he was, and you feel bad for him
because you see him, his eyes watering up, and he's yelling in a drunken rage, and it's like, oh, you son of a bitch!
Hey, how about you turn down the fields, you jerk faces?
You animated raccoon who loves firearms, you're making me sad. If you listen to this podcast, you've probably already seen Guardians of the Galaxy.
You haven't, shame on you.
If you've listened to this podcast and you don't think you want to see it because it looks over the top ridiculous. It is, but in all the right ways. Like, and it's hilarious. It's got tons of actions. Like I said, it turns on the feels. It's emotional. It's just perfectly done, perfectly cast. I was excited because I'm a huge wrestling fan. Batista was in it, but I was really nervous.
And he was fantastic.
But he was amazing in his part. It was super, super good. And then
you get a chance to see it in IMAX. See it, because I honestly think it's that was the second best 3D I've ever seen, right behind
Avatar,
the Hobbit series.
Oh yeah, the Hobbit one.
Because Avatar was pretty amazing.
But that was like right there at the beginning of the 3D. Now we're starting to get into stuff that actually is really taking.
You're
very
right.
Well.
I forgot about Hobbit because I don't really like those movies. But you're right. That one probably had the best.
Well, because the high frame rate.
Yeah.
Right.
When that was ridiculous. Joe didn't get his chance to see it. We, Mike and I, and a couple of our friends saw a preview screening of Thor, the first Thor, in 3D, and we had these weird, crazy 3D glasses on.
Battery operated.
No, those. No, no. Eric said the same thing. They're not battery operated. They're just weird. They're heavy, but because they had security things in them, but they weren't active glasses. But it was the best 3D.
Yeah,
I've ever seen, literally.
And it was
today.
An unfinished version and, of the
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, unfinished
that we
version. There were some rough scenes in it, and a couple audio things were really big things where it wasn't finished. But it was so good. The 3D was so good, you forgot you were watching 3D.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly how I felt in Guardians IMAX.
Where you're supposed to be with 3D. You know, not obviously make things that'll take advantage of the 3D, but don't turn it into. Hey, we're throwing stuff just to throw it at you.
Oh, yeah, they weren't trying the whole, you know, reaching out at you and stuff.
And if you do it in a fun, mockingly joking way, that's cool, I guess, if you're the right movie.
Like my favorite 3D movie ever, My Buddy Valentine. If you haven't seen that, the remake of it, not the original, because the remake with Jason Eccles, it's fantastic. It's in a way a satire of horror movies, but also like, still a horror movie, but I loved it because the 3D was so fantastic in it. Like they did the whole thing where like the killer swings the pickaxe at you and it comes out at you, but then it hits someone's face right inside the camera. Oh, it's fantastic. Blood squirts at you and a midget gets killed when she's naked in a hotel room. She gets fucking pickaxed to the roof. And then a hooker runs through naked in the parking lot. And
midget
she,
hooker?
No, she's a full size hooker at this point. She runs hooker. She runs
extra
at you naked.
Hooker.
In the parking lot towards the camera, so she's coming out and then she comes off the screen at you, boobies bouncing. Oh, it was hilarious. But I love it. Plus there's a really neat scene where you're behind a chain link fence and the 3D is so good you see through, like the fence is literally right here, and when the camera focuses past, the fence blurs like it would in real life when you're focusing through a fence. It was crazy. But anyways, go ahead.
Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, watch Guardians. It's awesome. That's all I really wanted to say, I guess.
Yay!
Yeah.
And, dude, Star-Lord is going to blow the fuck. Like, I know he's in the process of it now. Chris Pratt?
Chris Pratt. Yeah.
He's on Parks and Rec is where he started getting notoriety, even though I don't watch that. It's been on for 7 seasons, so a lot of people must like it. So he got his fame through there, and he's been in some movies, and he's done a good job in some movies and some smaller roles and supporting roles. This was obviously his first lead, and he knocked it out of the fucking park. Second lead was his first one.
Zero Dark 30.
Yeah. Was he the lead, though? I thought that was more of an on.
It's a bit of a team thing.
He was the lead of the team, but he was the main.
Yeah, okay.
Like, other than the
I thought the other dude who played Tom Hardy's brother in Warrior was kind of more the.
He was the lead, but Joel Edgerton, yes.
Anyway, he's new to being the lead, yes. Leading man. Knocked this one out of the park, and he's also going to be the lead male actor in Jurassic World, which should be at least the second best Jurassic Park, because it's already, just with the seriousness that it's being taken with, is already going to be better than 2 and 3.
I hope so.
So he's going to, that one's going to gross a gajillion dollars as well. And Guardians opened up to, like, what, 95 mil opening weekend?
Yeah, it was like 94
so
million.
So it's going to get at least 400 million and do insane numbers, especially globally. But, yeah, he's hilarious, but he's believable as an action star, too, and he's got good range as an actor. More so than you would ever think watching him in Parks and Rec, because he's in Parks and Rec, he's kind of like the Kramer character. Like he's
comic relief.
Yeah. He's even in a comedy, he's the funny one. You know, he's the
which transitioned well very well to the Guardians of the Galaxy, because he did have some hysterical moments.
And great lines too. Oh. Like he yells out at one point, "They got my dick message."
Yeah.
Which made me laugh so hard.
Out of context sounds really bad.
Yeah. But when you watch the movie it makes a lot of sense. It's hilarious.
Can anybody be 100% dick? I don't know. I don't think.
Oh, yeah, John C. Reilly, dude.
Yeah, John Fantastic. C. Reilly.
Oh, in a supporting role, only had like a small handful of scenes. Hilarious! Just knocked it out of the park every time he was on. It kind of weird if you remember John C. Reilly was like a serious, like
actor.
Act like serious, yeah, but not in any comedies until like he did a comedy. Like, I think it was Step Brothers, wasn't it? Like, yeah. Or Talladega Nights
came first. Oh, yeah,
yeah, Talladega Nights, and then all of a sudden he's done nothing but comedies. Yep. But he was like a drama actor for the first half of his career, and then found his footing as being super fucking hilarious. But yeah, Cody, what else did you want to rant and rave about?
Joe had something.
I just wanted to mention the Halloween Horror Nights coming up. It'll be the first year that I'm absolutely going to try and go to it, but I'm absolutely excited for it because...
You might want to explain what that is.
You might actually be able to explain it better than
I will. So every year, both Universal Studios Parks, one in Hollywood and one in Orlando, for Halloween, starting in September, going through part of November, do haunted houses on the park and on the studio side. I've never been to the Orlando one. I've only been to the Hollywood one, and this is the third or fourth time. I can't remember how many times I've gone now. Super fun, but because they're Universal Studios, they have a little more talent behind the special effects and the makeup and stuff you see, so it's like Hollywood-style effects on it. And they've done things like every year they do a Walking Dead one. They've done Cabin in the Woods was only in Orlando, unfortunately, but I heard it was amazing. They've done Silent Hill, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They've done a Alice Cooper one, which was in 3D, which is pretty cool. They did a that was the year before, which is super awesome. They did a Black Sabbath one for their newest album, 13. They came out, and that one was in 3D this year. They just keep getting bigger and better, and like they do ones for like Insidious, a bunch of different movies they have, The Purge. Bunch of cool different ones they've done. It's super awesome fun. So it's really high quality like effects go into it. But it's like there's still haunted houses in a way, so they're trying to scare you, and it's just super fun, and it takes over the park at night, and it's just so much fun. So this year, Joe, they just announced that one of the newest attractions for this year that's gonna hit both parks. Joe was gonna tell you about it right now.
So I know that there are places that you can go where you can, especially during Halloween, you can experience like the zombie stuff, and you can walk around, zombies come out and scare you. And I've always wondered what it would be like if you did that with the Aliens franchise, where you're walking around like a dilapidated Hadley's Hope, maybe being escorted by Marines trying to get from point A to point B all the time, having aliens pop out at you. Well, I might be able to get my wish come true, because they've announced that this year it's going to be Aliens versus Predator as the attraction.
Yeah. So we're talking predators walking around, xenomorphs walking around. Don't let the horrible movies that we talked about later deter you from how awesome this is, just to be able to see them.
Because again, like you said, doing for those horrible movies, the effects and the look of them, awesome.
Yeah.
The movies, awful. But the effects, the way the predators look, so I want
just
I literally
to interact.
Want a predator to come up at me with a fucking with a wrist blade, and I'm like, oh, like, that's cool. Hey, Mr. Predator, do you have nose? Really? Because that shit you smell.
Yeah. that's my just shit. My pants.
Yeah, that's my shit. And to quote Star-Lord, a little bit of pee came out. Go ahead. Anyways.
But and I don't really know the structure of them. Like I said, I've never been to one of the Hollywood Horror Nights, but they did mention something about a maze. So like I said, I'm really absolutely hoping that you are wandering around, and maybe even in this case, the temple, like you have in the first Aliens versus Predator movie. I mean, how awesome would it be? You end up in like the egg chamber for the aliens, and they just start like the facehuggers start crawling out.
Oh,
of the
egg. I see somebody get fucking smacked a facehugger on, dude, I'm gonna be so happy.
Yeah. Speaking of facehuggers, did you guys see Adam Savage from MythBusters cosplay costume from San Diego Comic Con?
Absolutely amazing.
Yep, he was in a spacesuit from the first Alien movie with a facehugger on it.
Nice.
It was awesome. Like not like a plushie. Like they have literally movie quality face hugger on there with the cord wrapped around his the helmet, and like, oh, it was super badass.
Yeah, I watched the video of him getting set in that costume. No air conditioning in it whatsoever. Nothing to move air around anything. So he wore like this this ice vest that literally lasted like 15 minutes. Yeah. So then he walked out on the floor. 45 minutes later, came back, and they were unbuttoning him. Everything just sweating up a storm.
Yep.
Gross.
Because he had no air ventilation in that suit whatsoever.
Space suit, and that shit sealed.
In fact, at one point, it started fogging up the mat. The helmet.
So it looked like it was like, oh, it was soft. Because
it actually like, added to the effects of it.
Because it looked like he was like something was happening in there. Because he was dying of
dehydration. Slowly killing himself for a cosplay.
He pulled the helmet off, and you just see sweat dripping from the helmet
somebody
itself.
Somebody has to clean that. That's not cool.
I'm sure he didn't clean it. It's called
realism.
Realism. There you go.
Practical effects. Hey, why does this suit smell like someone's dead body?
Because somebody died
almost
in it.
Almost died in it. Yeah, so, I'm really excited about it, too.
Yeah, Cody goes to these last 3 years?
I want to say it's last 3 years.
Joe and I have never been, right? You've never been.
No, because I've always had something else going on.
I've never
been. This year.
And, I'm totally in on this idea. Yeah. Like, this
and we'll podcast from there.
That's fine by me.
As we're running away from people?
That's fine with
me. On my phone, like, oh, my God! It's just gonna be me screaming and running.
Found footage edition. Found audio edition of.
I'll do video. I'll record and post on YouTube. I'll be like
YouTube channel.
Yeah,
we'll make it happen.
Yeah, I will. I will definitely pee myself on camera.
Won't be the first time.
I'm peeing myself. Look at the stains. So
just a puddle forming.
Look, a puddle. Weird. It smells like
practical
my urine.
Effects.
Yeah, it's just an effect. Yeah.
This is found footage, guys. This is for the movie.
Yeah.
I wouldn't really act like this.
Yeah. I'm not really as scared. I'm really, really excited about that Dar thing happening because it is fun every year.
And Universal is great as it is.
Yeah, it needs to be bigger, but it's getting bigger. The Harry Potter one. I want to ride the Minion ride. It's open now. Yeah.
All right.
So what's your last one, Cody?
All right. So
what are you pissed off about now?
Oh, I'll go over it, sir.
You know what really grinds my gears?
Oh, he said it.
So we have discussed this before. Batman v. Superman, Dawn of Justice. So it is turning out to what I think is going to be a shit bomb of a movie. I'm pretty sure I'm not alone with that. At San Diego Comic-Con, they released a couple things. One, right before I went, or before everyone went, really, not just me, because that would be a weird convention.
It would be.
Booths, all those booths, me. Are you going to spend some money? Because this is expensive. I don't know where else is at.
Cody would be running around going, this is me in a convention all alone.
Look at me peeing myself.
I'm peeing myself.
I don't always pee myself. It's just most of the time.
Only when you're excited or scared.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Almost every time, yeah. So... They have
scared, excited.
Yeah, they released a picture of Superman on the rooftops in a rainy night, which looked to be Gotham, which is cool.
Yep,
he's all pouty and angry.
Yep.
They released obviously earlier than that, but before that was like a non-official release. Then they released a picture of Batman, all moody, an official release. Then when I was at Comic-Con, they released a picture of Wonder Woman, which to me still looks like a cosplayer. Because she doesn't look like an Amazon.
No, she's very, very skinny. I mean, she's Gal Gadot.
She's no way you can bulk her up.
In that picture, it doesn't even look like they've spent any time. Like we talk about Guardians. Chris Pratt spent more than seven months with personal trainer and Dave Bautista to bulk up for that film. And he weighed like 280 pounds,
and
I believe.
There's
he said
only
at
one
the
scene
it.
Where you actually have to see him. That's time he's even close. So,
yeah.
I mean, other than not
so
having
now
a gut,
you flash over to Superman versus Batman.
Superman. Henry Cavill for Man of Steel was deadlifting 425 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
I've been told that's not much. You motherfucker, you don't have to do that for a movie where you don't actually have to lift anything. That's fucking heavy. It's all special effects. You just have to look like you're in good shape. This motherfucker was actually doing it. Like, he was lifting 425 pounds. Fuck that. That's ridiculous.
Not maxing out at that, working out with that.
And working
that's
out
what
at that.
Was,
that's
his workout weight.
So for this one, they brought the same crew that helped him transform into Superman for Man of Steel over to help with Ben Affleck. We said, "Ooh, Ben Affleck, not that big of a dude. Okay, whatever. He could look good." The dude's ripped as shit.
Yeah,
like he got huge. Like I even read a thing online where he was working out and he was still shooting that new movie, Gone Girl. I think is what it's called, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
They had to alter some of his outfits that he wore from one scene to the same, like the same outfit for scene to scene from different days, because he was getting bigger. They were almost thinking they had to reshoot certain scenes because of it, because they were doing reshoots and he was getting bigger. I was like, that's crazy. So then we skip out. We go to our third main character we found out about who's actually playing her. And you have this rail thin woman playing Wonder Woman. I get it. Like, she's superhero. She's got super strength. She just doesn't look
to
me.
She doesn't look like an
like
Amazon.
She should
at all.
Be an
like
Amazon.
Classic,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. It just, she looks short. She looks scrawny. It's whatever.
And then her suit wasn't very, I mean, I get it that you don't have to sit there and put everything.
Amazonian. But, like, if you look at some of the things, the Wonder Woman costume, because women's costumes in comic books are super hard to make look good in real life, like, hence the reason Catwoman never looks like she does in the comics, except for when they did the Tim Burton ones and she looked ridiculous because she looked like a stripper. But if you look, she has high heels on.
Yep.
She's wearing high heels. It's like, what the fuck? She's fighting.
How are you going to be fighting in high heels?
Yeah, so dumb. Anyways, so that wasn't even... when I saw that, I was super disappointed because, like, she's on this, like, volcanic, smoky thing. And I was like, this looks like someone took a cosplayer and did a digital background on her and made her look like Wonder Woman. So that's awful. Then I got to see the footage that they still haven't released from Comic-Con.
Nope, I saw it. Somebody had videotaped it and posted it, and I saw it for within the hour that it was posted online.
Okay, so you did see it before it was taken down. So I got a chance to see it when I was there. I wasn't at the panel, but they were playing it other places. Not really excited about what I saw. I know it's early, so it's rough footage. It's not completely CG'd. They're taking shots directly. And again, out of context, we don't know when it happens in the movie or what's going on. But it's directly out of Frank Miller's Batman or Dark Knight Returns.
Yep.
It is Ben Affleck. You can tell because he's got the chin in the bat armor with the glowing white eyes.
Which didn't make any fucking sense to me.
Looked like complete garbage. Now, I heard in Hall H when they premiered this that it erupted and it was the best thing they've ever seen. These are the same fucking people who waited in line for 12 plus hours to get in a room to watch this stuff with 4,999 other people for no fucking reason, instead of all the money you spent and all that time trying to get a ticket to Comic-Con, instead of looking at all the cool shit that's out there, you waited in a line for 12 plus hours to get in a room where they showed you less than 5 minutes of footage. So you shouldn't be cheering. I think that's just sleep deprivation, and being starved.
Well, there's that, but then exactly, you know, what you're saying is you had these diehard fans. These are the diehard people that are
going to cheer for anything.
They're going to cheer for it because this is absolutely what they love. Batman and Superman on screen, which is I want to see as well, but I want to see a very good rendition of it. And when you mentioned that his eyes glowing, it made no sense to me. It almost reminded me of Splinter Cell, really. Like, I know when they made the game, you had to have some sort of recognizable thing in there where the character, you could see the character in the dark, so they made the triculars. Yeah, goggles green, and you could see it. But that's how it looked in this film, is that Batman's cloaked in dark, and you can see his eyes glowing, and it's like, why are you doing this? Why does he need eyes that glow? And then Superman, for some reason, was powering up his heat vision, too, the whole entire time that they're having this conversation. And it's like, okay.
So, again, out of context, we don't know what's exactly happening. Is Batman attacking Superman? Is he... I don't know. But it looked unfinished, first off, so hopefully that gets better. But it just looks atrocious. It looks like there's too much going on in the movie, because there's just that aspect of it. But you have... We know Cyborg's in it. We know the character of Cyborg. We don't know if he's going to be Cyborg in it, but we know Wonder Woman's in it because we've now seen her in costume. It means she's going to be in costume in the movie at some point, be it, you know, at the very end, credit scene, whatever happens. She's in it now. We have Lex Luthor. We have another rumored villain to be in it, which has been rumored to be Metallo, which is going to be interesting because then they have to tell the story of Metallo.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another another big step in it. Then you have still rumors floating around that Jason Momoa was going to play Aquaman, so that's another character that's in there. Then there's just rumors where The Rock said he confirmed that he's going to be playing a DC character.
And he's been hinting at Shazam.
So, and I don't know if that's going to be in this one, but it's just more you're stacking onto a movie that's essentially supposed to be a sequel to a solo Superman movie.
Or to Man of Steel.
Yeah. So already we have talked about this before, I think on here too. You're trying to do a team-up movie with no preparation. Yep. You're going to do a team-up movie. You're going to explain all of that
in one
movie.
And then you're probably
and then they're
going
to have to come together as the Justice League at the end of the movie. And it just it's fucking driving me batshit crazy.
I don't think that's what's going to happen at all. I think like I understand if all that comes to fruition and that's what really happens, that sucks. That's too much. But I think they could do this and still work out. Because the biggest things I look at is I look at past history of if it's a sequel, obviously look at the first one. Man of Steel was awesome.
Yep.
Everybody here likes Man of Steel, right?
Yeah.
Everybody here likes every movie Zack Snyder has done, right?
Everyone I can think of.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't see them just plummeting this as bad as you are making it out to sound like they will. I think that they could do this in one movie if they do it right. If they bring in the other characters towards the end, hint at them here and there throughout the movie. Don't make them a main focus point, but hint at them, right? You can have them appear, but not as a superhero. Obviously, Wonder Woman is in Wonder Woman costume. She's not decked out red, white, and blue yet, so I don't think it's the Earth Wonder Woman. I think it's the Amazonian Wonder Woman.
She's in golden red.
Yeah.
But even so, it was still very subdued.
Yeah. So you don't know what the final costumes are. You don't know what the final roles are. You don't know how they're introducing them. They could be cast. Like I said, I think what's going to happen is they're going to have a Batman Superman movie with Lex Luger. Lex Luger. Luger. Fucking. Putting everybody in a torture rack.
He would lose that fight, I'm pretty sure.
You're going to have Luther, I think, playing the main bad guy, but kind of pulling the strings for what is going to be an action bad guy for the movie. I think if they do it right, which I put trust into Zack Snyder because there's not one thing Zack Snyder's done that I was like, you fucking dropped the ball. And I know Zack Snyder loves the source material. He's a huge comic book nerd. He loves Batman. He loves Superman. You still have and I don't even like saying this because people are going to think, why isn't Christian Bale in it? But you still have Nolan attached as a producer.
Not anymore.
Well, I'm saying like he was attached as a producer with Zack Snyder. So he spent time with Zack Snyder. I don't think Snyder's going to turn this into a cartoony blow up and half the movie is going to be what essentially Spider-Man 2 turned out to be, just basically a reboot from Man of Steel. I don't think they're going to make that same mistake because, one, they saw what happened with Spider-Man 2. It wasn't very good because they basically rebooted their own movie and try to set up a Sinister Six movie. But like I said, if they do it right, they could hint at characters, even show characters, and have, you know, an after credits scene with Aquaman or Shazam or whoever. And I don't think Shazam's being in this movie. I think he's going to be his own standalone movie later on. But I very easily think they could knock this out correctly because I trust Zack Snyder. And I thought, obviously, you know, the footage you saw didn't look very good, but Nolan's even released footage, 6-minute previews of last Batman movie that sounded like horse shit when you saw it, cause they didn't finish the final edits and you could barely understand Bane when he was talking. So you put out stuff like that. Like that's kind of a normal thing now. But like I said, if they do it right, I think it's fine. Like I'm not even stressed out or worried about it at all until I see that, you know, they are, cause like I said, I think this movie is going to be mainly a Batman and Superman movie. And I think the next movie is going to be the, you know, kind of like the new 52 issue one of Justice League, them getting together for the first time. I think that's when they get together. And if they do it, they could do it and do it well and do it correct. I'm not worried about it until I see things that I for sure know they're doing that is dumb. You know what I mean?
And yeah, you're right. It could end up being really a really good movie. I will say from the footage that we saw, I did like the fact that it had almost a very noir type of look and feel to it. And that's what they've done with at least the pictures for Batman. He's very, you know, black and white, which is really cool imagery from it. I just hope that it comes out very good.
Like I said, until Zack Snyder fucking strikes out on something that is really that important, I'm giving him trust that he'll make the movie that people want to see. So I'm not worried at all, honestly, about it. And I'm not as well with you guys. I'm not excited about Gal Gadot or whatever her name is. I think Jason Momoa as Aquaman is kind of cool.
I think that
bring
would
a
be
cool,
cool
edge and badassery to him a little bit. You know, the fact that Cyborg's in it. Cyborg could be any throwaway character almost in this movie and just kind of reference to him, you know what I mean? But, well, I'm not worried. Cody?
I am worried. That's clear. I said before, I am willing to keep an open mind. I want to see more. And part of it, what worries me is the fact they aren't planning to show the footage they showed at Comic-Con online or publicly. That was just for Hall H. They even said come out, like, they said, this is just for Hall H. These are for, like, the special viewing of people. So, those are fanatics. You give them a little something to, you know, whet their appetite with. I, myself, was not willing to stand in line because I
anything at Hall H is going to take you 4 days to get into.
Yeah, so,
and you're only getting minimal stuff out of it.
What I'm saying is I'm willing to keep an open mind. I just think that the direction this is going is very similar to what's happened to Spider-Man in the past and X-Men in the past, where the studio is pressuring them to put all these different things in for no reason other than to try to catch up to Marvel. For instead of laying out the building blocks and doing it properly, they're doing it in reverse. They started a solo movie, they're doing a team-up movie, and then they're going to branch out and do individual movies for everybody else.
See, you're saying team-up as in you think this movie's going to turn into a Justice League movie. I don't. I think this movie
is called Dawn of Justice.
I know, Dawn of Justice. I think this movie's going to have Batman, Superman, and give you the ingredients for Justice League, but the Justice League movie is going to be the third one. Like, that's how I see it.
Oh,
happening.
The Justice League movie will be the ultimate team up. They are literally building this movie to have the team up at the end of the movie. You will see the Justice League.
What's wrong with throwing it out there and like, bam, this is the next one? But you just had a Batman Superman flick. After, you know what I mean? Like.
I have a fear that they're going to take away from that Batman Superman story with throwing this other shit in there.
Trying to explain the other origins for everything
because
into
they're
gonna, one
movie because,
is what his fear
yeah,
is.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're
that's what it's piling up to be, though.
That's what you think it's piling up to be, but you can look at it. There's a way they could do it and have it be okay. They can show all the Justice League members not fucking flood the movie with Justice League. I don't think the first half of this movie is going to be a Batman Superman movie and the second half is going to be a Justice League movie. I think the whole movie essentially is a Batman Superman movie and they're going to fucking cock tease you with Justice League at the end of it and then you're going to get your Justice League. That's what I think is going to happen anyway.
And I'm okay with part of that, other than the fact that it, as of right now, and even what I was trying to get to, but then we got off on other things, this what they've said about Batman, this version of Batman, is infuriating. So he's been patrolling, if you haven't read, if seen what they've announced, they officially said this, not rumored, this is the premise of Batman. He has been patrolling Gotham for over 30 years, making him a senior at it, but has never actually been photographed or seen. He's still a myth.
I'm still relatively okay with that because he was trained as a ninja, so he was...
That's fantastic, except for 30 years, and then all of a sudden he somehow comes out to face this new thing. I want to know... Like,
but
obviously, I'm waiting for the movie.
It's
going to
be
like,
what is that?
Yeah,
that
like,
he comes
but
out
to? How much of a threat could he be if he's never been anything more than just this shadowy figure that everyone.
But he could still
you know,
be a threat. I mean, they just never established. I mean, you've never established his rogues gallery within that universe. You're assuming that he has the Joker and all of these other villains.
Outlandish
that
villains.
That he's coming out to fight. But it could very well be that he's been just fighting mob bosses and stuff for 30 years and they just don't know about it, you know.
Or Ra's al Ghul, who's super hard to fucking, you know what I mean, is fighting.
Right, but
he's still more realistic
than...
I totally understand why you, Cody, are on the edge of being super pissed off about this, but I still think everything they're announcing, aside from the Wonder Woman casting, is something that sounds weird, but could be really fucking cool, I think. If they do it right. And I know that's a huge if when these people have this much money riding on it and they want to... See, I think the fact that because of a Zack Snyder, I mean, he made Sucker Punch, for Christ's sake. Like, no studio wanted that to be what it turned out to be. And he made his movie. Might have fucked him a little bit in the end in terms of money, but that was amazing.
Yeah. And I'm down for. I mean, like Mike said, I'm okay with whatever Zack Snyder wants to do. It just seems to me, from all the things we're hearing, is they're taking more out of his control. Because first off, when David Goyer wrote the screenplay, they didn't like it, so he rewrote it. They didn't like it. Then they brought someone else in, right before, and they've already started filming things. So he's there to fix what they don't like. And what that sounds like to me is they want him to patch all these things in.
And, I mean, it could very well be, but, I mean, how many movies out there do that? I mean, every movie goes through rewrite after rewrite, and they bring on different writers.
It looks like the blocks are being stacked up in a different way than, again, how I would want to see it. Like, I'm down for a Batman Superman movie. Like, that sounds awesome. But what it sounds like to me, and what Mike is not thinking it's going to be, and again, it's my thought, is they're planning too much for this one movie. Like, maybe I'm spoiled in thinking that Marvel has done it correctly, where they did that, this is this person's solo movie, and then you tie in one character at the end.
Right, and that and worked, like, really well for them. And I know, I understand your worry of it. Harkens back to Spider-Man 3, where it was originally supposed to be just Spider-Man versus Sandman, which would have been an awesome movie. It could have carried very well, especially the way they were portraying Sandman as a very likable, you know, bad guy, just misunderstood. But then the studio got involved, and they're like, well, we really like Venom. And Sam Raimi was like, I don't like Venom. I don't like that character. And they're like, well, no, we really like him.
Fans like him. We want to put him in the movie.
We want to put him in there. And then, you know, I'm sure somewhere along the way they also said, hey, remember Green Goblin? We could bring back his kid, you know, Norman Osborn or Harry Osborn as Green Goblin. And then you end up with that clusterfuck of a movie at the end. So I get what you're getting at there. And but, you know, I also hope it's exactly what Mike is saying, that it is really just a Batman versus Superman movie where they hint at other things. And I don't even need, at the end, maybe just throw in the fact that, hey, you know, we're going to assemble this team. Credits.
And the part of that worries me the most is that, where we go, oh, we're going to put this team together at the end of the movie. That's what, having these disposable or small little cameos of them. If you, like, in the first Man of Steel, they never actually mention Bruce Wayne or Batman,
but they
show
but
Wayne
they hinted
Tech.
At Wayne Tech, which
they
means,
hint, but
which,
they didn't hint; they just show it.
But that still
so
means
you know
that
it exists
for
in
some
that world.
Time, that just means that for some time he's been operating in the background as under Wayne Tech. So he could very well have been operating as Batman for 30 years.
I'm down with that. That's cool. You bring that in. What I'm worried about is it looks like they're trying to put too much into it. You have a movie that needs four blocks, and you're putting in 12.
Right, and that's what I'm
and
saying with
why
the Spider-Man analogy, is that you are worried that they are trying
but see,
to do too much.
Using your analogy, if you got a movie that's doing four blocks and you think they're putting in 12, I think at worst they're putting in 5 because they have those other characters are just going to be considered one. You know what I mean? Just you're going to see them. Like I said, you might be totally right. I might be totally right. You know, we both could be wrong. They do it some weird fucking way we didn't think of. But I trust that a filmmaker like Zack Snyder, and I saw Man of Steel. Man of Steel was fucking cool as shit when a lot of people didn't think you could make a Superman movie be like, a lot of people thought you couldn't make Superman a sympathetic character. He was
you
too
were so
powerful.
Used to the Richard Donner version.
You know what I mean? And the Superman Returns was so fucking garbage.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people didn't think a Superman movie could work. He made a Superman movie work, which, you know, it's Superman. It should work no matter what, but it's trickier than it sounds. He made it work, and like I said, if there's a way to do this with all the cast that they're talking about and do it right, and I think until I see an actual trailer, until I read, you know, actual shit about the movie that, you know, always seems to find their way online before the movie comes out, until it's actually done and I know the extent of all these other characters. Because you're 100% right. If it turns out that Aquaman is in the movie for 40 minutes and Cyborg becomes Cyborg in it and Wonder Woman is, you know, in two acts.
Some reason there.
That's too fucking much. But I think they're going to be smart enough about this to know that they can't cram all that in because it's just going to take away from everything. I think. I hope they will. But
we'll I hope they do but too, we'll but I just I have a fear.
No. I totally, and I get, like, I don't make it sound like I'm, you know, no, this is going to, you, I'm totally fucking worried that you being completely right and predicting it right. I'm just being a little bit more open-minded because I, like I said,
you trust Zack
Sucker
Snyder.
Punch, dude. Like, he made Sucker Punch. He made Man of Steel. 300. I mean, what studio really thought 300 was going to fucking be as big as it was? Obviously, they thought they can get money back on it, or this wouldn't have made it. But he's taken this kind of material before and made it badass on screen, and I think he could do the same. Right, and you're right. If the studio's taking too much away from him, it's obviously going to ruin it. But we'll see to what extent, because I think at a certain point, if they take too much away, I think Snyder is done right afterwards. Mm-hmm. Or if he movie gets done and it's finished and he announces right away, like, I don't want to do another one, like, that will give me big concern.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But if he comes and he thinks it's cool and he thinks it's going to work, I trust on that.
We should also mention that the release date for it got bumped up because it was supposed, because it originally coincided with Captain America 3.
Same date. Yeah. Same exact date as Captain America.
Which is just dumb business for both of them. But Marvel, like you said earlier, doesn't have anything to prove.
Marvel doesn't need to back down because they have a proven formula and a proven concept. I mean, if Winter Soldier didn't do as good as it did, like it didn't do like the Avengers type money that it actually did do, then I could see them going, oh shit, like, let's rethink this. But because they did, that gives them that foothold on that date. And I was saying to everybody, DC's gonna have to be the one that backs down off that date, because there's no fucking way they can compete with it, because Man of Steel didn't do as well in comparison to the Marvel franchises, so any of the Marvel movies so far. It did good. I mean, it was very popular. We all liked it. I liked it a lot. But if given that day, like that one day you said to me, hey, you have to choose one of these two movies, I'd be going to see Captain America.
Yeah, the obvious answer to it would be Captain America. Because I think I have more faith in that
would be a good movie.
Well, it's more established, but it's, right now.
Either way, it's taking business away from, because there's going to be a group of people that want to see Batman, go Superman, see and that'll pick them. It's just, like I said, it did nobody any good, both of those being released on the same date. So obviously, you know, seniority and proven track record is going to keep the date. Batman Superman will relocate. They'll do huge numbers.
But even in which case, it got bumped forward too. March, I think, is when it.
A month up, yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, we'll be able to see it a month earlier. You know, I'm okay with that. I think that's it?
Yeah. Anything else, Michael?
No.
Joseph?
Nope.
All right, so that's it for this episode.
Yeah.
We are.
Joe.
Mike,
I'm Cody. That was it for this. We will talk at you later.
Peace.
Later.